Well, let's talk about this now. How did we end up with such a complex train ticketing system? And what can you do to simplify it? Here is Bruce Williamson. Bruce is from an organisation called Real Futures. And tell me what Real Futures is about, what you guys try to do.
We're simply a pro-rail organisation. So we're fighting for a better deal for passengers. We also support things like freight. We like reopening lines and stations. We like just getting a better railway generally. And I suppose fares is one of the big bugbears, because the level of fares is enormously high in this country generally. The average fares that, you know, people pay for essential journeys is amongst the highest in Europe.
Do you know, Bruce, I obviously you're a lover of rails and you see that they're essential and all that sort of thing. It just never ceases to amaze me that why in this country we don't have people who have vision and people who would say, my goodness me, we could have the best rail network in the world if we did this and that and whatever. And that people would flock to it as a result, because roads aren't the answer. Every Tom, Dick and Harry has a car today, and roads are not the place to be.
Well, no, you're right. Congestion on the roads is a real problem. And whilst you might be, you're certainly right in that our rail network is far from ideal, the passengers are still flocking to the railways. The rail passenger numbers have doubled in the last 20 years, which is an astonishing success story for the railway. But it's not because of the fares, it's despite them, really. We have this enormously, ridiculously complex fare system, and it's something we've been campaigning on for some time, but I think it's going to be a very, very tricky nut to crack.
Yes, because there are so many interested parties. Somebody owns the rail, owns the carriages, does the catering, it is so. Hold that thought, Bruce. I want to bring in Jane Grattan. Jane is Head of Business Environment at the British Chamber of Commerce. Jane, where do you guys come into all of this? How important is the rail network to you? Do you cherish it? Do you abhor it? What's your take?
Hi there. It's really important to business. Business moves people around, services, freight. So getting a system that works for business is really, really important. And we welcome this review of the fares and ticketing system, bringing it up to date, bringing it into line with the way that businesses operate. You can use smartphones and tablets. We need greater flexibility. Got to be simpler and easier to use.
Yeah. Now, an easy thing we could talk about is passengers, people who go on their daily commute. And indeed, I noticed yesterday, even just in leisure time, a big influx onto the trains to get people to the seasides yesterday. But Jane and Bruce, let's talk about commerce and let's talk about business. And I've never really understood this. When I look at all the trucks on the road, I understand the flexibility that they give in terms of delivery. Is there a future for rail to take more of that burden or to make life easier? Or is it just, guys, too difficult to get a product from a factory onto a train and then onto its final destination?
I think we can get more freight on the railway, and really that's part of the reason for HS2, why we supported HS2 so much. It's about increasing the capacity on the network overall. So getting passengers onto HS2 means that there's more capacity on the main line for local connections, connecting freight to airports and ports, for example. So I think there is opportunity to get more on, but road will always be important because lorries are far more flexible and they can respond, again, to the way that society is changing. People want goods delivered the next day, and the lorry is going to be needed for that.
Yeah. Bruce, your take?
I mean, I think that there's definitely a future for rail, for freight, and there is what we call suppressed demand. There are freight operators who want to put, you know, freight on the railway, and they just can't get a slot on the railway to get their train. There just isn't enough capacity on the railway. So capacity is a huge issue. And I think if you look at the other end of the market as well, people are talking about these sort of new nimble delivery systems and companies that have the advantage of the internet and new technology and so on. So we may well see many more small goods travelling on the rails in the future as well, I think.
Okay, Bruce, let's bring it back to the consumer. So I use the trains, and I mentioned before that actually if you put a little bit of effort in, you can get yourself a good fare. You can do advanced bookings, off-peak, you can do split ticketing. But I have to agree with Eamon. The system is so confusing. Why do we have to have all these different fares for these different times of the day?
55 million different fares.
It's just ridiculous.
Part of the problem is the commercial incentive of the rail companies, because of course what they want to do is they want to manage the passengers to suit their needs. They want trains that are pretty much almost full all the time, and so they have to offer different fares at different times of the day in order to manage the load to meet the needs of the railway, and that doesn't necessarily work in the passenger interest. It's great, of course, you can get these huge discounts on off-peak trains, but you still have to wade through the complex mire of different ticket options.
So what's the solution?
I'm not sure there is an easy one, really.
What do you want?
Well, what I want is a lower level of fares overall, I think, and that lies very squarely in the hands of the government, because the level of fares is regulated by the government, and every year it goes up by more than inflation, and I think that's completely unacceptable.
Mm.
We do have the most expensive fares in Europe if you want to travel now, compared to our European counterparts. But while we have a railway that is overcrowded and congested, The railway companies, and they will be supported by the Department for Transport in doing this, will manage passengers by pricing them off the most busy trains and pricing them on to the quieter trains. So the answer is, for both freight and passengers in the long term, we need more capacity right across the network.
More capacity. How do they bring that about, Jane? I know you say you're a great supporter of HS2, and I always, again, despair. People who want to live in a Victorian Britain, you know, that they don't want progress, they don't see, you know, don't want another runway at Heathrow, they don't want a fast track rail,
they don't want fracking.
You must be pulling your hair out, Jane, at a lot of this.
I think a lot of it is explaining the need for increased capacity, because if we don't get the increased capacity, basically what will happen is it become more and more crowded on trains and more difficult for everybody, and it pushes more and more traffic onto the road. So the capacity issue is absolutely vital. But, you know, going back to the ticketing bit, there are things that can be done that would make life a lot easier for people. When you think about businesses up and down the country are desperate to get skilled people.
Yeah,
and then, but if you know, most businesses now, you know, offer flexible, agile working to help people to manage things. But actually, you know, you can only buy a week-long season ticket. You can't get just one for 3 days. Yeah, and how ridiculous that you actually have to go into a ticket office in order to get the best price, rather than being able to use it on your smartphone or your... And, you know, when businesses say, you know, they have to travel at short notice, because most business now, you know, it's still done face-to-face.
Or indeed, most people, you don't have to be a business. Yeah. Most people in life, you haven't made your decision 2 weeks before. You make it on the day or whatever,
well,
you know.
Quite, but for business, that is particularly important. And yet you're penalised by sky-high walk-on fares. So I do, you know, endorse everything that's been said around the capacity and the need for this review. But in terms of getting capacity, we need this ongoing investment. We need better maintenance because, you know, half of firms have told us they're stuck. They've had their journeys disrupted by rail maintenance and delays on the network.
But Jane, last night I watched this programme, which I tend to watch a lot, on Channel 5, and it's called Paddington 24/7. I don't know if you've ever seen it, have you?
I haven't, no.
It does what it says on the packet. It's Paddington Rail Station 24/7. And the thing is, Jane and Bruce, oh my goodness me, if you'd have seen what behind the scenes people have to deal with. I mean, and one of the things, Bruce, was the electrification of trains on the Southwest line. And I thought, oh, this seems a good idea. They've new cabs and everything. But it appears every carrier bag or every bird that hits a line seems to fuse the thing, and then the trains stop. And just the work that the logistics people have to do to keep those lines open. I mean, it's a battle they could never win, really.
I think they can win. I mean, electrification, you know, despite the problems you're just talking about, electric lines are more reliable than diesel-powered lines. So that's one of the reasons why we support electrification.
Okay.
But, I mean, the Paddington 24/7 thing, I hope, illustrates the capacity problem, because Paddington is operating absolutely at capacity. And you see time and time again, when you get one little hiccup in the system, system, the knock-on effects of disruption to the network are really quite severe. So that's why we need capacity across the network. Capacity, capacity, capacity. I totally agree with Jane.
Okay, I'm glad you just have that open up more lines. That's a good idea as well. Guys, really, thank you very much indeed. Capacity, capacity, and open up more lines. I'm not a great train user, but that's again a story I tell against me. I just like the flexibility that a car gives me. But then, you know, I get on a train and I think, yeah, this is okay. It's all right.
Well, they opened a new line where I moved in. So I moved into a certain part of Oxford, North Oxford. Yeah. And a year later, they opened a new line and it's at capacity. And so it stops me from going into the mainland station and going to Paddington. Now I come into Marylebone. But there is a demand for trains.
Well, there is. For instance, when I drive to football, Manchester, from Surrey, I go by the car all the time, which is a nightmare. It could take me 4 hours. It could take me 8 hours. Yeah. I have no idea what it's going to take. But yet, to get into Euston to get that train, I would have to drive, you know, it takes me an hour and 15 or so to get there, or not two trains or so to get in there. And so there's no train line that connects me from that part of London or Surrey to Manchester, which is very annoying. But anyway.
And by the time you've paid your train ticket, you might as well go in the car because the car journey is cheaper.
Yeah.
I bet you it is.
My bottom gets sore though sometimes.
Yeah, but you just get out and have a little walk about.